Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, let's get right into it. Let's talk about what's happening in Congress and what's happening with the Congressional Prayer Caucus, because this is so cool. Back in 1947, this is the prayer that they prayed, the chaplain and the House of Representatives. I thought this was so cool. He said, "Teach us, O Lord, the discipline of patience, for we find that to wait is often harder than to work."
Oh, yeah. Wow.
"When we wait upon thee, we shall not be ashamed, but shall renew our strength. And may we be willing to stop our feverish activities and listen to what thou hast to say, that our prayers shall not be the sending of the night letters, but conversations with God. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen." This prayer wasn't prayed in a fellowship gathering. This was prayed in Congress.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This was prayed in Congress. And I like that, you know, this prayer is pretty powerful to me, because oftentimes when you get a whole bunch of leaders together, mistakenly, you can think that it's all about what we can put into play, what kind of actions, put our heads together and come up with something. But we don't need plans that originate in the heads of men, but we need plans that originate in the heart of God. And we need to seek God for his wisdom, for his direction, and what he wants to bring to pass. And so oftentimes that requires waiting. Oftentimes that requires time of prayer and talking to God. But it also includes listening and hearing what it is that he has to say. And sometimes that takes some time. You just got to hear and not be tempted to move in the flesh and start doing things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, part of what this group is about praying together as congressmen, congresswomen from all over the country, so they can get a perspective on how they need to vote. And there's a big push right now. They're trying to promote a movement to restore the country's motto, "In God We Trust." I mean, there's a lot of things that America has put their trust in. They put their trust in their power. We've put our trust in our wealth. We've put our trust in our intelligence, in our academia, our universities. We've put our trust in our military. But let me tell you that all of those areas have failed us when we haven't put our trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we pull God out of every piece of fabric of our country, we can't, you know, our country is not going to stand. And so we need men, women, boys, girls, everyone in the nation to say, "Hey, listen, I want to turn my heart back to God." And I'm just really encouraged as I hear and see these congressional leaders doing this and wanting to continue that, to spread more. I want you to see a little bit about what they're doing, and be encouraged as you watch.
John Adams smelled freedom and liberty before almost anyone else in the country.
The same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe.
He could taste it. He knew what it was like.
The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
I'm losing my freedom and my liberty, and it's slipping right through my hand.
Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. And without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure.
John Adams would say, "No wonder it is. You put no trespassing signs at the door in the marketplace of ideas," and saying in America, you don't have a place anymore for faith and religion and morality to even come in.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
He said, statesmen can plan and speculate about liberty, but it is only religion and faith and morality that can birth the principles that can secure freedom.
The anti-faith, anti-God groups, They are committed to removing God in America, and they have an agenda, and it's very specific.
I have a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the 56 signers of that document, and it contained two revolutionary propositions. The second proposition was that you and I had a certain set of rights. Those rights I simply loaned to government, who used them for me. But the first proposition, and this was even greater, was that those rights had been given to us by a creator, and that if they were given to us by a creator, they couldn't be taken away.
Why would they want to do that? Who wants to remove God from America? It's not the majority of Americans. It's just a handful of people, and why?
This big attack on faith across the country is designed to separate that creator from those rights. If they can convince us the creator never existed, he doesn't live, he doesn't isn't true today, or if they can convince us that there's no nexus between that creator and the rights, but we can't talk about that nexus. They have won the argument that either the rights don't exist, or that those rights were given to us by the state. If they were given to us by the state, then what the state has given to us, the state can take away.
It's the very things our founding fathers said we have to fight against every generation. We will have to fight for our freedom, because America can only stand if the majority of people are religious and good people who love freedom, who love liberty, and want to remain a free republic.
The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
The true source of power is not found in the halls of Congress, or the chambers of the Supreme Court, or the West Wing of the White House, but it's found in the power of prayer before the throne of God.
The Congressional Prayer Caucus is an official U.S. House caucus with over 100 members.
Prayer Caucus has been a great way to bring together members of Congress. We leave political labels at the door. We come together and let's just pray for wisdom.
Whether you are the furthest on the right or the furthest on the left, you're all of one size in that room before God.
There are members of Congress who understand that there are limitations to ourselves and limitations to government.
My mother and father raised me to believe in something that is greater than myself. When you come into those hard times, I mean, you have to have prayer, you have to have a conviction of spirit.
There's a very special fellowship that happens, even across the political divide, when men and women of faith come together.
The Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization, and we are designed for the purpose of working alongside our elected leaders that are spearheading a movement to literally change the direction, realign the direction of America.
If in fact we were a nation that was birthed on those Judeo-Christian principles, what was that moment in time when we ceased to so be? It wasn't when a small group of people succeeded in taking prayer out of our schools, or when they tried to cover up the word referencing God on the Washington Monument, or they tried to stop our veterans from having flag-folding ceremonies at their funerals on a voluntary basis because they mentioned God, or even when they tried in the new visitor center to change that national motto and to refuse to put "In God We Trust" in there. No, Mr. Speaker, it wasn't any of those times, because they can rip that word off of all of our buildings, and still those Judeo-Christian principles are so interwoven in a tapestry of freedom and liberty that to begin to unravel one is to unravel the other.
The movement is now. We have the momentum. We now have members of Congress, nearly 20 states who are on board and forming caucuses, hundreds of legislators that are now joining this movement. We have members of your city councils and your school boards that are standing together, that are forming a grassroots movement, that are saying, we're drawing a line in the sand. We're going to win, because this is what America was founded for.
We can get a letter signed, an amendment signed by 100 members of Congress within an hour. And we roll back that Washington Monument problem, and we made the Park Service reverse it. If you have a veteran that dies in your family, you have a right, once again, to have a flag-folding ceremony, even though it mentions God. The architect of the Capitol refused. Speaker Pelosi came out, backed the architect of the Capitol up, said he was exactly right. By Thursday, we had 2.5 million emails hitting Washington, and on Thursday, they backed off of that. Today, once again, you can have God on flag certificates across the country. And I said, I want you to take off the part that says our national motto is E Pluribus Unum. And they said, you mean you want us to actually pull it out of the stone? And I said, pull it out of the stone because it's a lie. I said, we want In God We Trust engraved in stone. If you walk in the visitor center today, In God We Trust has been engraved in stone. I said, we want the Pledge of Allegiance. We want the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag engraved in stone so you can't change it tomorrow when we leave. Today, the Pledge of Allegiance has been engraved in stone.
The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
And we're talking about the Congressional Prayer Caucus in D.C., and pretty awesome. Because they want to make sure that we keep In God We Trust as the motto. It was originally stated as the country's motto by President Dwight Eisenhower. And you heard different things. I mean, it was so important because you understand that we have rights, and these rights come from God. And what you continually see is the removal of separating God out from these rights. And if they can take God away and try to, you know, get that narrative completely across there, then that means the rights that we do have, where do they come from then? Then they would say the rights come from the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if the rights come from the state, then it means if the state gives the rights, I mean, the states can
take
away.
Them away.
That's
yeah.
right. And it's not true. Mm-mm. And so that's why you see this attack to try to get God off of everything, because it is, this is what our founding fathers knew, that listen, every person, that we have rights that were given to us by God himself. And so all of these things are very important. I love what Ronald Reagan said, is that if we ever fail as a nation under God, we're a nation that's gone under. If we ever fail to be a nation under God, we're a nation gone under. You know, I was interested to hear about what President John F. Kennedy said. Is that rights of a man do not come from the generosity of the state, but they come from God. Mm. So you have a Republican president, you have a Democratic president. It doesn't matter. Listen, this is God. You know, we talked about this. I think Chris said it when we got together. He says he's a Christocrat. You know, what I mean? and I agree with him. God's not left wing or right wing. He's for the whole bird. And as Americans, we need to be, you know, and as Christians, more importantly, we need to be about God. You know, bringing God back into the fabric of our country and honoring the Lord again. You know, oftentimes you hear the saying, God bless America, but at this point, we really need to say, America bless God.
Yeah.
You know, we need to turn our hearts back to the Lord. If we want the blessing of God back on our nation, then it's for us to turn. It's for us to align ourselves with God's ways, God's word, and his truth. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we will see the blessing of God upon our nation. I mean, there was a period in time where our country is tremendously blessed, and we still have remnants of that blessing, but those are quickly fading away, and I believe it's because of where we've drifted and turned away from him. We want to continue to share that out of this prayer caucus, Room 219 emerged, and that was something that was basically founded by Congressman from Virginia, Randy Forbes, and he started to put this initiative together, and he was able to get a room, a Capitol room, 219, for strategic prayer, so that these congressmen and women can come together, they can convene before every session to pray for the country. This is strategic prayer. This is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And I want you to watch firsthand as they discuss what they're a part of themselves and why it's important for members of Congress who are believers to be a part of Room 219. Watch this.
You know, if you look at Ezra and Nehemiah, they rebuilt the wall around Israel. We
realized that it was important for members of Congress to come together and pray. And there was a room, 219, that was just off from the House floor. And we got that room so that we could go in there and pray for the country. As we cast our first votes, we then go in and literally get down on our knees and pray that God would restore our land.
If we have issue with how America's being run, we have the power to change it.
Prayer Caucus has been a great way to bring together members of Congress. We leave political labels at the door. We come together and let's just pray for wisdom.
Whether you are the furthest on the right or the furthest on the left, you're all of one size in that room before God.
We need to call the nation back to prayer.
It's our duty and responsibility to join together and unite.
But what we're absolutely united on is the need for us to restore America.
In the essentials, unity, and the non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity. We've got to define what the essentials are that we can coalesce around and to say, you know what? We're going to stand firm with one another in prayer and seeing a deliverance here.
These are very difficult times in our country, difficult times in our world.
You're not going to find your solutions in man.
Even though life may throw us challenges, that we always have to remember that we put our trust in God.
If we fail in this country, it is a great danger to the whole world that's seeking to step into the light of freedom.
The problems that we have right now are not going to be solved on the floor of the House or the Senate.
Each one of us has to do our part to transform and change this culture.
I think God is really looking at us and saying, I need you. It's time for us to stand up and say, I'm ready to be those leaders.
As we all move together, that we move together in step.
God is in charge, and that we are here to try to carry out His will.
For this nation to stay great,
we need for people to pray.
Help us. Fight for the country.
You pray for us here in Congress that we will continue to seek God's will.
As surely as your prayers are heard, they're felt in Washington, D.C.
Silence is consent.
This is a wake-up call for us.
We need this kind of revival of people turning back to God.
It's the only thing that's going to put us back on the right course.
We do have a history.
Our founding fathers, they pledged their life.
To them, that really meant something because they were literally signing their own death warrants.
What great cost was paid so that we could have this very precious thing called freedom. We cannot do it on our own strength. We need the supernatural hand of God.
God can always take a small group of people committed to Him, and He can change the course of history with them.
The true source of power is not found in the halls of Congress or the chambers of the Supreme Court or the West Wing of the White House, but it's found in the power of prayer.
And so what we realized is not to build a physical wall around the country, but to build a spiritual prayer wall.
Awesome. A spiritual prayer wall. Wow. Rebuilding the walls of Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. And how awesome that it's happening in D.C. with congressmen and congresswomen. You saw representatives from Alabama, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Texas, Indiana, New mm-hmm. Jersey, Colorado, Arkansas, Minnesota, Florida. I mean, how beautiful is it to have a representation, which you see Congress, for every Congress member that represents 700,000 citizens. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so you have the nation being representative in prayer. And unlike what one of the congressmen said, that source of power, true source of power, doesn't lie in Congress, doesn't lie in the judicial branch, not in the executive branch, but the true source of power is in prayer. Prayer changes everything.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.